This is episode 47 of the Forest Podcast for Tuesday, December 21st, 2010. Welcome to the Forest Podcast. I am Mike Evans.
And I'm Kenneth Love.
I'm Zach Kitzmiller.
This is your daily tech design and development banana. Oh, we want bananas again.
Eat a banana. You should have done Dalek. That would have been a lot funnier.
Maybe we'll do Dalek next time.
Maybe we will.
All right, so we got Zach back, and we got a Kenneth, yes, and I'm here. So shall we jump right into the LinkedIn? You know, where the top quality among us get jobs.
Yeah, it's the absolute bastion of job sites.
Yes,
LinkedIn.com, and there's nothing. All of you out there who just gave a big shudder. It's just because you don't know about LinkedIn.
Yeah,
right.
You're wasting your time on the ladders.
Bitches don't know about my LinkedIn. So LinkedIn put up a blog post. Manu Sharma put this up on the LinkedIn blog. This is kind of cool.
His name is Manu Sharma. His name is Benny Lava.
Right. He put up the top 10 overused buzzwords in LinkedIn profiles in the USA. So these are the 10 little buzzwords or little phrases that show up the most in the US. And these are kind of sad. Number one is extensive experience. Who's not going to list extensive experience, right?
The best one is number four.
Results oriented?
Yes.
Like I said, I want to be meetings oriented. That's going to be mine from now on. Meetings oriented. I want to be in meetings as much as possible. Because nothing ever gets done in a meeting.
Donuts.
Right? Donuts get done in a meeting. Coffee. Glasses of water. Coffee. Pee breaks. Those things get done in meetings. Work? Not so much.
Dynamic.
Dynamic, yeah. I'm going to be static from now on. Team player plays well by myself.
I would make
Plays well with himself?
Yeah, if I was looking to hire people, I'd make a little thing that would go through and it would not pick any profiles that had these top 10 things in there.
Well, that's kind of what he's getting at, is that these things show up so much that people just gloss over them now. Yeah, you see somebody listing problem solver on their profile and you're just like, okay, yeah, great. I'm glad you solve problems, but you know
that's the base part of your job. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think problem creator would be much more interesting. I come up with shit that's wrong.
At least it's not.
Entrepreneurial is pretty hilariously ironic that it's
they're looking for a job
overused buzzword.
Yeah.
Because why would you be looking for a job if you're fantastic at starting companies?
Maybe it's that they're entrepreneurs. They're good at starting. They're not good at finishing.
I was going to say, at least they don't have
a
self-starter.
For someone, if I'm looking for someone to work at my company, I don't want someone that's going to run off and start their own company in 6 months.
Yeah, you want somebody that's never going to amount to anything is going to stick with your company from now on.
Yeah, well, exactly. It depends. Like, what did Kyle do? He spun Forrest off of being at VaynerMedia, and now it's part of whatever.
Well, he hired the two of you.
So he's entrepreneurial, but he's at another company.
I'm not an entrepreneurial person. I will never amount to anything besides working for someone else.
Okay.
Working for the man.
If I was searching for people to hire, though, I would search for non-entrepreneurial.
I don't think anybody would list that.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should. That's what we're saying. You know, you put in the opposites of all these things, and maybe then you stick out.
You say, I'm here to be a minion?
Yeah. You're like, dude, I am excellent.
You tell me what to do, and I do that shit hard.
I think that would get you hired.
I like that.
I would hire you, Zach.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So Smashing Magazine has what font should I use? 5 principles for choosing and using typefaces. It seems like we've had a lot of posts kind of like this, where it's like picking out fonts. But maybe it's one of those things that nobody understands, no matter how many times they read it.
Well, I think it's people fighting back what I've been complaining about, that all the great websites nowadays seem to be like heavily illustrated and stuff like that. And these are people who are like, look, I can't illustrate worth shit, but I know how to make a good page, how to make text flow and things like that, and that can still make a good design. People are trying to fight back and have good typography on their sites who can't illustrate. That's what I think.
I
can't do either.
Yeah.
So this is helpful.
My favorite part is the second illustration, the one under Know Your Families, grouping fonts, the GHOTMS, just for showing the different little font groupings.
Those oh, yeah, I see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you're talking about something like, oh, I want, you know, a gothic font. And people are like, you want, you know, blood dripping off of it? And it's like, no, I want
gargoyles,
really. like Gotham or, you know, franchise bold or something like gothic. You know, nobody knows. Everybody's like, what?
I want the blade font.
No. No blade fonts. Please, no blade fonts. The Buffy font, that's okay, you know.
The Buffy font is
everybody
the CSI
wants,
font.
Right? The CSI font, yes. Yeah, you were on the last time we talked about fonts, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
He was on the bootleg show.
The bootleg
show. Bootleg! Did that get released?
Not yet.
They're on the way, though. I've been editing our little tracker so that we can mark things as normal shows, bootlegs, and specials.
Right.
Nice. That's awesome.
So, yeah. Eventually, you know, that'll come out someday, knowing Mike's...
2012. It'll come out when Sarah Palin's president.
How fast Mike is at releasing stuff. When Sarah Palin assumes the presidency 1 month before the Mayans destroy the world.
Yes.
I tell you, I got to go find John Cusack. I'm wasting time on this.
What's this from Ben Nolan? More Backbone JS. It's ridiculous.
This is more Backbone. This is a new tool called Capt. And so Capt is a tool for generating and serving Backbone.js projects in development mode. So it's kind of like a quick start for Backbone. So basically it pulls in you tell it to start a new project, and so it pulls in stuff like jQuery, Backbone, underscore, QUnit, things like that.
Awesome.
He said it's kind of a combination of Jamit and Rails code generators. So you tell it to do a new project, and then it kind of gives you like all this stuff that's just kind of waiting for you, which
that's
is really
cool.
Yeah, so if you're trying to get up and going with Backbone, this is a cool thing to check out. Or if you want to find out how he's doing it, it's written in CoffeeScript, and it uses Node.js.
No.
So if you want to dig into how he's doing this to maybe make your own, then looks like a cool thing to go read. I like his site, too. It's a nice, minimal little site.
Yeah, I really like the site.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the pick.
Well, it's two things. You know, it's a bonus, right?
This is a double.
Yeah. Not only do you get a handy little tool, you get a very attractive minimal website.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. All right. So this next one is going to scare everybody.
Saw this and thought you were out of your mind.
Yeah.
Vmail. Now, this is actually really cool. All of you guys who use Vim, you know, you're like, sucks, I got to leave Vim to go do email.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Now you don't have to. Now there is Vmail, which will let you check, reply, archive, delete, whatever you want to do, your Gmail inside Vim. Now, it's not going to be inside the Vim that you're using to edit stuff, although I suppose you could do it that way if you wanted to. It's usually its own like Vim instance that's running that's just doing Vmail.
Interesting.
And then, you know, you do your work somewhere else. Now, it's actually really handy. It's really easy to set up. Took about 5 minutes to install and set up.
Search queries look pretty cool. Like, you can just do, like, fromthematrix.com or from Barack Obama or CC, you know, David Fisher, etc.
Right. Well, and then it'll auto-generate a contacts list for you. So then you can use, like, autocomplete, omnicomplete on your contacts to fill in, like, names and email addresses and stuff. And it's got all the movements that you're used to in Vim, right? So
maybe I should start using Vim.
You should. I'll teach you. We'll
talk
about it later on. Yeah, I'll teach you to use Vim. Vim is awesome. I love Vim.
It seems to be the tool. Everybody talks about it.
It's one of those tools that...
It's like Africa. Everybody talks about it, but don't nobody really want to go there.
Except a lot of people go to Vim. I'd say Emacs is more like Africa. Vim is really handy if you're like, you want something that's really stupid minimal. Like, amazingly minimal, but it's very extensible to where you can kind of just, like, whatever the hell you want with it.
And you just look like a badass in a coffee shop. People are walking
by. You do look
like
a badass in a coffee shop.
What is he doing?
Your fingers will never have felt more powerful. Because you'll be like, dude, I can push this key twice and delete, like, the whole file? Awesome!
Oh, that doesn't sound like something I should have access to.
Yeah, probably not. What's this next one? Tipped.
It's cool.
This is from Nick Stakenberg.
Oh, we were looking at this.
Yeah, this is cool. This is a JavaScript tooltip framework. So it's not just tooltips. It's a whole framework for building tooltips with, which is pretty cool. It supports Prototype and jQuery.
It uses Bridge.js. That's really fun.
Yeah, and so you can basically take Bridge.js, build a new adapter for MooTools or YUI or whatever else you want to use, and then you'll be able to use Tip with that framework as well. The entire skin is done with Canvas, the shadow, the loading icon, the everything.
So it's going to be slow as hell.
Maybe a little bit slow if you've got a whole lot of them showing up at the same time, yeah. But it's extremely customizable. I mean, position it however the hell you want. Pull in Ajax stuff. You've got callbacks and events.
Oh, this is freaky. One of the examples is doing multiple tooltips on like different sides of the pages when you roll over.
Yeah, this is really crazy. Kyle and I were looking at this over the weekend.
Yeah, no, this is definitely neat. And if you're doing something that's going to need some fancy tooltips, this is probably one of the things to really look at.
Our tooltips on Forest are lacking for sure.
They could be a little bit
better. Use Tipsy.
But I like that they're nice and minimal. But that's, you know, I don't like having a lot of crap floating around.
They could use some love, but not too much.
Right.
A little bit of sugar?
Yeah.
A little bit of sugar.
Yeah. So, maybe they need some CSS3 animations.
I don't think so.
Think so?
They certainly do not.
Well, too bad, because that's our next link, is how to control your CSS3 animations. Sadly, these examples only work in WebKit browsers right now. This stuff will probably be extended to other browsers later on. Basically, all he's talking about is not how to set up transitions or do keyframings or any crap like that. He's only talking about one attribute, which is the WebKit animation fill mode, which this controls when animation effects are applied and if they're applied, like, again, right? So, I don't know. It's kind of neat. I was a little bit lost as I was reading through this, so I'm not going to try and explain it. But if you're, like, feeling left out by not having enough cool stuff in your CSS animations, this is the thing to go check out. Word. Did you read this one, Mike?
I ended up having to put it in Safari because some of the stuff in Chrome wasn't working right. But
no, yeah, it doesn't work really in Chrome well.
Mm. Well, it does work in Safari. They work decently in Safari, at least. But yeah, no, this is... It's interesting, it's kind of cool, but I don't quite get the use of it. But I thought somebody else might find it awesome and handy. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about the listeners, you know? Right. Trying to be nice here. If I listened to Mike, I'd be like, oh, you know, screw this. We're just going to put in crap about Heroku all day.
Hey, if somebody... You know what? We'll wait.
Think Vitamin. Talking strategy. So it's from Alexis Brian. Brioche.
Hey, I finally learned how to say that that kid's name. Well, now he's not a kid, but the dude. But I don't want to say it. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay.
Pascal. So, Pasquale.
Pasquale?
Yes.
Pustule?
It's just Pasquale.
So this is basically giving you a little guide here on doing project strategy. Like, who's it for? What is it? Why is it compelling? And how is it distinct? So you kind of break these things down, and you set up a meeting with your client to figure out all these things, and it makes it easier for you to design or develop or whatever their project. So yeah, it's just a handy, short little guide, tiny little guide. And at the bottom, he goes into how you set up personas, which are fake real people that would be using the service.
I always
just
call them, like, what, user cards is what I used to call them.
Yeah, user cards, right. Personas, user cases, user stories. I've heard all sorts of different names for them.
Right.
But it's basically just an imaginary person that's based, you know, they're realistic. It's not like, oh, this dude runs a Fortune 500 company and doesn't speak in anything except for Shakespearean sonnets. It's not shit like that. It's like, you know, real people.
I liked doing user cards where they weren't users, but like different versions of the same user. So it'd be like, you know, it'd be Zach sober and then how Zach drunk would use the same.
This is like Zach when he wakes up, Zach in the middle of the day.
Right.
Zach,
I should write a whole service about that where it's all just the different personalities of Zach.
I think, you know what, you build it, we will cover it on the show. We'll be like, this is the most awesome thing ever. You can go play with Zach.
That's what it should be called, Play with Zach.
It should be Play with Zach.
Oh.
And so then you can choose which Zach you have, if you have like angry Zach or happy Zach. You know, hungry Zach, whatever. And then you put them into different situations, and then they react the appropriate way. You put hungry Zach in a room with nothing but, like, water, and hungry Zach, like, breaks shit, right?
Playwithzach.com appears to be available.
Oh, man! And hey, you can build it in Vim. You can use
Vim. I will use Vim, and I'll use Flask.
Flask? Hey, there you go.
awesome. It'll be like my learn things, Kenneth said I should learn project.
You gotta put it in Streakly.
It will never get done.
Sure it will.
Eventually.
Like, how's Redbeard doing?
Redbeard's doing pretty well. We are on like...
Active development?
Yeah, we're on like 0.8.5 right
now. Is Redbeard your Redis thing?
Yeah, it'll hit 1.0 probably next week, week after. And then we're probably going to stop messing with it for a while.
Can I be on the contributors list?
Have you contributed anything?
No.
No. I sent you a stuffed bear. I contributed. What?
If you contribute, you can be on it. We've got a couple of things. We're doing a bit of refactoring right now, so it's kind of slowed down. And then, of course, the holidays.
But you know what you do? You got to be a UI open source contributor.
Yeah. Well, we've got a designer that's contributed designs, and he's going to be doing some UI stuff soon too. So we kind of got that going on right now.
Damn it!
Hey there. I know it's too bad, isn't it?
Well, see, I think that's another thing from the story we talked about last week. Maybe that's one thing because you have 50 designers and they can do it without stepping on each other's toes a lot, but having 30 different developers, but having 30 different designers can get a little funky.
Yeah, it's really hard to have more than like one or two designers working on something because, you know, they hear requirements differently, they come up with a different idea, they solve it different ways, and then they have to fight over which one's the better one, and then there's blood everywhere.
Designers don't bleed.
X-Acto blades in the floor.
All right.
I went through design school, right, using all these X-Actos and sharp things. I never cut myself on an X-Acto, but I did cut myself on a ruler.
What the fuck?
And then my wife sliced off part of her finger.
At least you knew how big the cut was.
No, not really. It was the edge of the ruler. I think how big it was across my palm. That's how big it was. Actually, I did it twice. I did it once with a ruler and once with a T-square, so... It's like I'm fine with all the sharp things. It's the safe tools that scare me.
So wait, is your wife's nickname Stumpy?
No, she didn't cut off that much. It was like a tiny little corner of one of her fingers.
One of my buddies worked at Quiznos and cut his finger off. On a meat slicer. Like up like half of the fingernail, up to like half the middle of the fingernail.
That was the sandwich.
Delicious.
See, I would have expected the answer of free.
Free.
Well, one of my teachers told a story about when he was in design school, he had an X-Acto on the table. Or I don't know if I think it was while he was teaching. Anyway, he had an X-Acto on the table and it started rolling off. And it was laying horizontal to him. It wasn't laying pointed away from him or toward him. It was laying across him. And it was rolling off the table and he caught it between his knees real quick, not thinking about it. Yeah. Those things are dangerous, man.
That's why you need a hero.
You do. You need a hero. So we've got heroscale.com. Basically, this isn't hero scale. This is how to deplete your bank account really quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This is if you use Heroku, you know that you can on the fly add more dinos or workers, which are, you know, basically just allows you to have more concurrency with your app.
Right, and you get more processes.
Yeah, you get more processes. And, you can't do it automatically, strictly through Heroku. Like, you can do it whenever you want. You just log in, move the little slider up and down.
You have to go do it yourself, though.
Right. So what this does is it will monitor and move it up on the fly as you go.
Or down.
But, or down. See, I have two problems with this. Well, one, it is something that I've looked at before. I was like, it just seems like it makes sense to have, but I would never use it because I'm poor. Times where if I get on TechCrunch, I really don't give a fuck if I'm getting extra traffic because I don't have the extra 10 grand for the month, right?
Right.
But the other thing I thought was if your stuff is always scaling, right? So you're never going to get the emails of someone saying, what the hell, this took 45 seconds to load. Then you're never going to go in and find your error part points where you need to, you know, optimize.
Well, but you kind of will because, I mean, if you think about – you've got your app that runs normally, right? And it doesn't incur any costs. It uses whatever Heroku's like baseline
right.
is.
That's what we're using for Love Games.
Right. And then you get really popular and you have this thing turned on. You have HeroScale turned on. And all of a sudden it spikes way the hell up, way beyond how much traffic you're getting. You know, because you can compare, okay, I've got my free account and it handles three concurrent users just fine, right? And then all of a sudden, you get a huge amount of traffic and you're having 10,000 concurrent users, but it goes up more than that amount of scale in how much it's costing you, then you know something's wrong. And you can start looking for pain points. But you're going to have to be doing, like, math on that part.
Right, I think you're going to get to it later than normal.
Yeah, it may take you a little longer. And it's also going to be harder to find because you're not getting the emails about something's, you know, breaking or whatever. Right.
But if you are interested in it, it's, yeah, heroscale.com, and it's, what, 20 bucks a month?
20, yeah.
The largest one's 20 bucks a month, yeah.
Oh, right, I see, because it goes by its refresh interval, how often it queries to see whether or not it needs to move up or down.
Right, and there's four tiers. The bottom three tiers are currently free, it looks like, and then the highest tier is $20 a month. That $20 a month expires tomorrow, so if you want it, you got to get it today.
Right.
Or you're fucked.
Could be handy for some people out there.
Could be. It's going to go up to $100.
It looks really, really, really handy.
I like the illustrations at the top.
If you're doing Heroku, it looks handy.
Yeah.
You know? If you're not doing Heroku, not so handy, right?
Well, I don't think that this would be useful for Forest.
No.
I just want something that would send me an email saying, you know, with an optional one-click thing, like, hey, we want to increase your dyno because here's the problems. Click yes or click no.
You could probably set up something with, like, Hoptoad. That emails you when you hit, like, problems, yeah, right? So you could do...
Yeah, Hoptoad is great for that sort of thing.
Yeah, you could do, oh, things are taking, you know, it's taking 45 seconds to render this page. Here's your email from Hoptoad. And then you just have, like, I don't know, a handy little bookmark that just immediately takes you to the bump up your dinos page.
Right, right.
I mean, it's a little bit more manual, but you're not paying a subscription for it.
Thank you, Thoughtbot. I must always give thanks to Thoughtbot. Or else the giant robots will smash into other giant robots and all hell will break loose.
You'll be in the middle.
You'll be in the middle.
Yeah, so speaking of things that are handy if you use them, we got the Fusion Ads Holiday Bundle.
Speaking of something that's only pretty with only using typography.
This is very beautiful using typography. Very beautiful. A little bit of CSS3 in there.
Yeah, I don't even want it, but I want to pay for it just because it looks good.
There are 10 days left on this, so you can get it for a few more days. You can procrastinate. So I guess that means it runs to what? It runs till the end of the year. Yeah 10 more days. 10 more days to be the end of the year. So $79 for 13, I was going to say apps, 13 items.
13 items.
Some of these are really handy. And some of these I know are close to $79 on their own. Like Kaleidoscope alone, I think is like $50. Texas Standard, 40 or so.
And there's a misprint here even because it says under the Kaleidoscope thing, $39. But I'm pretty sure that it's 39 euros.
Yeah, I think it is 39 euros. And that's like close to $50.
Well, the Pictos thing is like $240.
Pictos is expensive. Yeah, Billings is right around 100, I think.
Billings is expensive too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Expression Engine, you got to pay for a license for that, so that's a decent chunk. Out of all these, like Fontcase is awesome. I've used Text Expander before, and it was really cool, but I couldn't afford to buy it. So, right. Kaleidoscope's kind of cool, but I get by with like Vim Diff, so whatever.
I love Kaleidoscope. I'll say that real quick.
Kaleidoscope is beautiful, but I don't like that I can't do merges with it.
You can't do anything with it. It just
right.
replaces.
It's just a diff tool. It's not useful. It's just pretty.
Hey. Sometimes you gotta pay for prettiness.
You know what? It's really sad. I keep thinking about switching to Linux just so I can have KDiff3, so I can do through A diffs.
Just to be fair, though, Kaleidoscope does do diffs on images.
It does, yes.
That I'm pretty sure Vim Diff Tool, Git Diff Tool by default does not.
No.
It'll just tell you how many bytes changed.
Right.
If it got bigger or smaller.
Right. But, you know, how often do you really have images that have conflicts? Why are you tracking images in your version control anyway?
That's designers do. There's a lot of designers who use Git for...
No. I understand having images in your version control. I don't understand tracking versions of images in your version control. You get the difference here?
Well, that's why else
there shouldn't ever be a conflict of images, is what I'm getting at. If you're doing it that way, you're doing it wrong.
Well,
track your images some other way, your versions of images.
Have you ever used the Adobe Creative, what is it called? The thing where it tracks.
Version queue?
Version queue is the most evil thing on the fucking planet. I had to use that for school. Horrible. God, that thing is awful.
Version queue is horrible. Okay, whatever. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't like it. Billings is cool. Billings is nice, but I already have FreshBooks, so And then I have the Keynote Kung Fu. I definitely recommend the Keynote Kung Fu. That thing is awesome. You guys should, if you don't have the Keynote Kung Fu, you
I
should
thought be ashamed Keynote was Apple.
It or, is.
It is. It is. It's like a framework for.
Yeah. It's a way to do wireframes in Keynote.
Oh, okay. I thought they were selling you Keynote because I was like, I thought that was part of like iLife or something.
Yeah, no. It's a quick way to build wireframes inside Keynote. And then since it's like a PDF, you can assign links to things. And so you make your buttons linked to pages that show that button's state on another page inside your PDF or your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way you basically make like a working interface, but it's inside Keynote. And so you can move shit around quickly, delete pages, whatever. So it's a really good, fast way to send high-resolution wireframes to like a client. It's cool. It's nice.
I dig.
At least I like it. And then the good thing about this, if you buy this, the $79, 10% of it goes to charity, which is nice. Love and charity. If you they used to have a thing. Do they still have it? Where if you buy it, you're entered for like a MacBook Air or something like that?
No, yeah, I think so. No?
I think they took that away. I think that
is. No.
It's still there?
Just to win a MacBook Air. It's right there. It's the.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Prize.
Blue banner.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. If you buy it, you can win a MacBook Air.
Or an iPad.
Or if you send it to a friend, you can win an iPad. So that's nice. You got a chance, right? A chance. You probably
Maybe
won't
I'll buy it. This. I wish I didn't own Version or Kaleidoscope already because I just bought it.
Get a refund and then go buy this.
Think?
Maybe.
Tell them why, too.
Don't let them listen to the show.
I'll pay for it.
Be like, dude, I'm sending back Kaleidoscope license because I'm going to go buy it through this bundle. But tell them.
20,000 postmark credits is pretty sweet.
Be nice about it. Be like, I'm doing this so it'll help the charity. You know? Be like, I really support these charities. Do you recognize this guy at all, Mike, from your Ruby things? S.F. Eric?
What?
S.F.E.R.I.C.
Where am I going?
S.F.E.R.I.C.
Yeah, S.F.E.R.I.C. Okay. Do you know who that is? Like,
no.
More than just a username?
Doesn't ring a bell to me. Why?
Let me look at his GitHub page, see if he has a name. Eric Michaels Ober.
Ober.
So he's from California. Yeah. Anyway, he has released an interesting little Rails 3 engine for managing your data. It's called Rails Admin. It's kind of reminiscent of the Django Admin. Doesn't look quite as polished, but I think this is relatively new. So, you know, that can be forgiven. Whatever. It's cool. But if you've got Rails and you needed a quick way to get to your data, edit some stuff, move shit around, delete things, this looks like a good tool to have. Yeah. I don't know really what I'll tell you about it, but it looks cool.
Kenneth, do you use the Django admin?
Yes, quite a bit.
You do?
Okay. Yeah. Because I never see a need for these things.
Well, for you, maybe not. But think about, like, for your client, right? You go and you make them the site. You're building a CMS, right? You make the site for them. And then you've got the Django admin, which you can do quite a bit of customizability just on the admin.
That's what I'm so impressed about that.
Yeah, if you then extend the admin and you make your own version of the admin, you can still use all of Django's code, but you can supply more templates than what you can without extending it to your own. And you can basically like completely rebuild how it looks. So you can have it, you know, you can have like three different versions of the admin, one for editors, one for reporters, and one for like owners, right? And so the owner can see every damn thing because they want to have total control. The editors can see like the sections that they edit, and they can approve articles for publication or remove them from publication, whatever. Send articles back to the reporters for editing, you know, things like that. And then all the reporters can do is write stories. And so that way you can really lock it down without having to, I mean, you probably wrote 60 lines of code for all of that. 150 at the most. So it saves a whole lot of time. And it looks good. It works well. You can just pass it off to the client and the client can use it right away. So you don't have to build the CMS part, the entry part.
Coding for clients. I code for myself for the joy.
Which is why you don't get paid for it.
I get paid for it. just nobody's happy afterwards.
So Mike, are you a big fan of STRF time?
No, I hate STRF time. It's evil. It is the worst thing ever.
We had that
STRF time is amazing.
We had that link last week. I don't remember if it was on a bootleg show or not, but about how to do the date strings for MySQL.
Yeah.
So here's one for doing date strings for strf time. You can pick from a preset list, or you can build your own, and it'll give you the format string that you pass off to strf
time. It's amazing because it's handy, but, man, it's just so many things to remember. I feel like I'm doing, you know, regular expressions.
You just can't remember all those. Yeah. There's no way. You have to look them up every time.
Well, the thing that kind of bugs me is, like, it looks like Ruby's not using standard ones for some of these, too. Like, the fifth from the last, the one that starts with 2010-12-21, that's mm-hmm. the UTC standard.
Right.
So in, like, PHP, in Python, in SQL, it's just represented by
C++.
The letter... Yeah, it's just represented by, like, the letter J. But for Ruby, you have to spell out all the individual pieces. What the hell's up with that, Ruby?
I had to do a bunch of this for the timestamps for iTunes.
You have to present it like a UTC time, which it's normally handled really simply. Like we were saying, almost every other language, it's like one letter to tell it to print this way. But with Ruby, look at that. That's a
interesting. I didn't realize that this was specific to Ruby. I figured this would be the same.
In Python, it's like J. Or so it's either J or C. I can't remember which one it is. It's one of those two. Because I've been doing a lot of those for HTML5, the time tag.
Right.
And you have to print it in UTC time. And so it's like, once I found out it was one letter, I was like, oh, I don't mind doing this at all. This is easy. But not so much in Ruby, I guess.
That's how all those time ago plugin script things work.
Yeah, also. It takes it off UTC, and then you can...
Right.
Well, because that way you've got a time zone encoded in there as well.
Mm.
Exactly.
I just sent you guys how I have the time set up for the podcast. Like, it's a lot of shit.
Look at that. That's not pretty at all. That's not elegant. There's nothing nice about that.
T dot string from time, percent A, comma, percent D, percent B, percent Y.
And you gotta remember, like, is this supposed to be the capital one or the lowercase one, or...
Yeah, and then you got to remember what your time zone offset is.
Yeah.
Completely useful tool, though. Awesome tool.
Yeah.
It's a kind of sort of useful tool.
No, it's useful. Especially the pre-made ones. You just click the button, and there's your format, and done.
I guess. It's nice, though. I like that.
I guess you could take, like, 6 seconds and just look it up in the pipe or the Ruby docs, I guess.
Right. You constantly have those Ruby API docs open.
Yeah.
How do I do the month name? Lowercase, just the letters. Just the first three letters.
I got the docs just on my iPad desktop linked directly in the beginning. First page.
I figured it was just your desktop background. You're like, this is my wallpaper. I used to have that for TextMate. I used to have, when I first started using that, I had a wallpaper. It was just like the key commands for TextMate. It wasn't as handy as I thought it would be.
You gotta have a big ass monitor to do that.
Do you not use TextMate anymore?
No.
You just use Vim?
Yes.
Because you're ridiculous.
No.
Invader Vim.
Dude, seriously, when we finish the show, I'll teach you a little bit of Vim.
All right, we'll talk.
We'll go over it, and you can see how awesome it is.
Oh, yeah, you're going to talk, all right.
Should I be, like, apt getting that right now? Oh, it's built in.
You already have it installed.
Look at that.
You ain't even got to worry about it, baby. You're done. All right? You're done.
Pull and help.
Let's talk about your Heroku thing, Mike, and then we'll come back to because I think the other one may have a lot of conversation to it.
Word to your moms. Posting this.
What a MacBook Air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere
else what?
This show is incredibly valuable.
I said
you already have
someone.
Two chances to win a MacBook Air.
Because the giveaway has a MacBook Air, and now Roku has a MacBook Air.
No, I'm claiming this MacBook Air. I wasn't even going to make shit over the holiday, but now I am just because I need one. Kyle refuses to buy me one for some strange reason. Even though he saw me using an ePC in the office.
See, hey, you said he kept asking you like 5 times if he was going to be paying you enough, right? You should have said no. You could have taken care of this yourself.
I need a MacBook Air every month also.
Yeah, I need $2,000 extra every month just for a MacBook Air. That's all it's going to be used for.
That's all I need as long as I get my $2,000 monthly Apple product allowance.
My $2,000 addendum. Yeah.
So I put this up because we need to talk about it as soon as possible if people are interested. Heroku, along with Index Tank, is giving away a MacBook Air if you are developing anything fancy over your holiday, you know, break. It goes from last week until January 6th.
And you have to build it on Heroku.
You have to build it on Heroku, and you have to be using Index Tank's instant search, whatever they offer. So using stuff like from the Twitter Firehose or Wikipedia or .gov, data.gov sources.
The Sunlight Labs data stream from the government is really awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to do – they have like Web Apps for America. I always wanted to do something for them.
Yeah, they do really cool stuff.
So, yeah, if you're making something cool and you want to use this, also when you get free access to Think Tank's thing while you're doing the contest. So it's like their $300.
Is this Index Tank thing like Ruby specific?
I don't know. It doesn't. I'm sure they have APIs for into you know tons of shit.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, yeah. Probably never do. Mind.
If you
they got two tutorials, one for Python, one for Ruby.
Oh, Python.
One for PHP,
and then
too.
Yep, have to PHP and Java.
If you don't win the MacBook Air, you can also win a USB mini monitor, a T-shirt with a working guitar on it, and I'm guessing probably some other random stuff. Why would you – a T-shirt with a working guitar on it?
I'm pretty sure that's what you call a gag gift. Like, hey, yeah. I got you this. And then you're like, what the fuck, Lisa? You suck.
And so they are re-gifting it.
Yeah, they are re-gifting it.
Yeah,
yeah, they're re-gifting their shitty present.
Somebody got it at the White Elephant and was like, I will not accept this.
You're going to get Keith's sweater for fourth place.
Keith's sweater was unbelievably amazing.
I'm sorry, I've grown a beard since then and now I'm wearing my mother's sweater.
I did get to see one or two pictures of it and it looked
I can't believe he was wearing a fucking dickie.
A dickie. Like, yeah, if you guys saw that picture, there is not a full turtleneck underneath that sweater.
Oh, it looks like this is also only open to U.S. citizens, so...
Oh, well, I guess...
Everybody else, you know, move.
Or find a U.S. friend, you know, like when you want to play the lottery.
Yeah, or when you want to listen to, like, Groove Shark or watch Netflix.
Yeah.
So, Delicious. We talked about this yesterday. Delicious.
Delicious.
Nom, 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 nom.
If they're not necessarily shutting down, they will no longer be operating at the capacity they have in the past.
Nor will you ever trust them.
Because the entire Delicious team has been fired.
Yes. Delicious is basically turned into Chrysler. Like, it's still there, but do you want one?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like everything else that Yahoo owns, it's now completely pointless. Other than Flickr. Flickr's the one. Can Flickr go, like, independent again? Because I really worry about Flickr.
Someone needs to buy Flickr.
Flickr is amazing. I don't use it nearly as much now as I used to, but Flickr is still awesome. You know, it's one of the best services out there for sharing pictures. And... It scares me that
I think Flickr would be getting more use if Facebook hadn't, you know, what is Facebook, like 2 billion images or some shit?
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. Facebook ought to buy Flickr. I can't believe I just said that, but it makes sense.
I hope it would still say separate, you know.
Well, yeah, but let Facebook be in charge of it because Yahoo being in charge of things so far doesn't work very well.
I
mean, name one thing that Yahoo's brought about that we still use.
Shit. I hate Yahoo Groups.
What?
Yahoo Groups?
Didn't Google Groups replace that?
Dude, Yahoo Groups was like the first like thing I did on the web before even doing GeoCities.
I don't think Yahoo Groups has been updated since 1992.
Yeah. It was like Pokemon Trading Club is what it was. That was the name of it.
Well, and Yahoo bought GeoCities and they shut down GeoCities.
But they gave in 2009 though, so I mean they gave it some...
Hey. They still shut it down. They bought Alta Vista and then shut it down. That was one of those that just died the other day. Alta Vista died. My blog log died. They kept Yahoo Bookmarks. Well, they're sunsetting Yahoo
Answers.
Bookmarks.
Answers. How about Answers, though? That's still useful.
Oh, that's not useful.
It's the most hilarious shit ever.
Every time I search for something, I get a stupid... thing.
I saw one the other day.
I use it for, though. I thought it was only its only purpose was for comedy.
Yeah, I saw one the other day that was genius. It was a girl asking if I'm breastfeeding and I inject chocolate syrup into my breast, can I make chocolate
yes.
milk? And somebody responded with, "Sure, it's only logical."
Like they're so how is Babby formed and everything. Those things are great.
It's great for comedy, but it's not a useful service.
Oh, okay.
No.
So anyway,
I hate searching for something serious and finding stupid Yahoo answer.
I hate you searching for stupid Yahoo answers and finding serious things.
Yes, that's the most awful time ever.
But anyway, Delicious is going to no longer be the Delicious that we know of it. And in the day or so of panic after Delicious was originally announced to be sunsetted, or leaked, I guess would be a better word, a bunch of people on Twitter were like, oh, we should just get a group of engineers together and over a weekend just build a Delicious clone.
Because it
just
takes a group of engineers.
Right. So, what's this dude's name? Michael Sippy.
Sippy Cup?
Oh, no, wait. Sorry. That's the designer. Andre Torres is the one who wrote it. Andre Torres wrote up a...
sounds like a Klingon.
A little to-do list of what all you need to have to rebuild Delicious. And it's impressive. He's thought out a lot of it. He hasn't gone into all these super nitty-gritty details, but he's thought out a lot of it. And it's a lot more than a weekend's worth of stuff.
This is a really hilarious post.
Yeah, even with a framework, even with like Rails or Django or Magnus or whatever, it's still going to take you more than a weekend.
I think we got to get Tap Touch on this.
Get Tap Touch? Yeah, he might be able to do it.
Yeah.
He might surprise us.
Like 12 hours. 12 hours.
Yeah, could be. So, but yeah, this is a really, really impressive list. And there's stuff that he doesn't mention, like pattern matching on URLs. That you need to be able to see that xyz.com is the same as www.xyz.com is the same as https://xyz.com, which is the same as https://www.xyz.com, which is the same as all of those with index.html or .php.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm doing this for the Heroku thing because instant search stuff would come in handy with a bookmark.
It could. Yes, it could come in very handy.
Yeah, it very could. Actually, that's a fantastic idea.
And use Embedly with it, too.
I think it's Digo, D-I-I-G-O, that lets you do that. I think they take like a quick little sample of the content of whatever your bookmark is, and then you can search for that content and then find the bookmark to it, which is handy. But I don't know how far they go. I don't know if they do like a full text thing or what, but yeah, it looks handy. It looks cool. But yeah, this is an awesome list, a very large list.
How about a bookmarking service with Embedly and using the TLDR API?
That'd be interesting. So it gives you a little synopsis of every link. That'd be handy. It wouldn't work so well on like images or something.
No, it would give you a blown up part of the image. Like if it's a nude person, it just just a titty.
Well, see, I think it'd be awesome if you use like the nude detector and then find the best part of the nude image.
Right.
You know,
great, like, great calves.
Right, yeah. You're like, look at the bottom of that foot. Oh man, are those cupcakes? And then that'll be awesome. Yeah. I say go for it. That's your weekend assignment, Mike.
Yeah. If somebody else makes it and gets the MacBook Air, I demand you send it to me.
You check in on Monday and tell us how you did.
Anything else? Is that it? Is that everything?
That's it.
That's it.
Except for the impending doom of Zach into the world of them.
Uh-oh, that's going to be fun. Zach's productivity for us is going to drop to like 2%, and then 3 weeks later it's going to shoot up to like 6,000%.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
That's kind of how it works. Like the first day with them, you won't get anything done. Because you'll be cursing them all day long.
You'll be randomly deleting lines, trying to figure out how to get back into edit mode.
Right. It's absolutely horrible. But then, like, the next day, you're like, okay, I got this. I can edit files. And then the day after that, you're like, I gotta be able to find something. How do I find something? And then, like, a week later, you're like, fuck yeah, look at my fingers. They're ninjas. I got ninja fingers.
Nice.
Seriously. You laugh, but it's true. All right. That's it for the show today. Podcast at forest.com, forestpodcast.com, and forestpodcast on Twitter. New site is coming soon.
And bootlegs.
Right? Bootlegs are going to be up there. Those are the shows that, for whatever reason, we don't dub worthy of launch.
Or if we randomly do something or, get really racist. I don't know.
Yeah, if we decided to do something extra. Yeah. It's a little bonus thing.
And specials.
And special.
Oh,
yeah.
And we've got some emails back from some people who we were hoping to be on the show who said yes, it's coming, next month, hopefully. So.
So at some point, we will have more interesting people on the show than just
than us.
Three of us, yeah.
There's Chris is on here sometimes.
Chris is on sometimes. We've
had
Ryan.
And that New Jersey kid.
Yeah, Ryan. We had him on. That's about it.
Kyle's on sometimes.
Kyle. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Kyle.
Occasionally.
He's so quiet.
He's so quiet.
He just sits over in the corner.
It's like a mouse.
Yeah.
All right.
So, that's it. See you guys later.
Everybody, bye.
Bye.
Later.